Okay, and we're back here, and I'm with David Miviser, and he is chair of the Hamilton chapter of Democrats Abroad, which is part of a larger Canadian organization. David, you're a busy guy. You're doing a lot of activism since you came here, moving to Hamilton about a year ago, and I see that you are working with Democrats Abroad, and you have a message or messages to bring to people, especially right here on this campus.
Exactly.
You know, we're starting the new year. There's lots of students here. There's some students who are U.S. citizens. You know, I've met an organizer or two from Democrats Abroad in my time doing activism here, and you feel that this is an important time to be engaging people on the campus who might be U.S. citizens, who might be able to participate in elections, to participate in Democrat Party primaries. So why are you here now? Why is it important that you're taking this Democrats Abroad activity to McMaster and talking to people in Hamilton about it right now?
Good. Well, thanks for the question, and thanks for having me here to just share this with everyone who's listening. So I think it is the most important thing that I can be doing because of the influence that the U.S. has on the whole rest of the world. I mean, there's direct involvement in other parts of the world, you know, foreign policy, trade policy, and all this, and also kind of cultural influence. Like, I think right here in Hamilton, we see more expressions of racism and hatred because that's become like accepted in the U.S. With Trump in the White House, it's become more okay for people to run around with yellow vests and yell at LGBT people or, you know, people they think don't belong here, right? So the U.S. has a huge influence, literally, on the air we breathe, the water we drink, what goes on in our schools, you know. Actually, the U.S. influences the Canadian government so much and the whole rest of the world. I think if I was from a different country, I probably wouldn't be so involved with the politics back there. But I think just as a global citizen, the fact that I'm also a U.S. citizen gives me an opportunity and really I feel like a responsibility to be involved. So why here? So at McMaster, there are hundreds and hundreds of U.S. citizens. Some of them you might know are Americans. You just kind of know they're Americans. There are many other U.S. citizens who are also Canadians. Like, for example, my children are born in Canada, but because their fathers are U.S. citizen, they also have become U.S. citizens, but they don't show up that way. You'd think they're just Canadians. You'd never know, right? So there are hundreds and hundreds of people at McMaster who are eligible to vote in U.S. elections. And that can tip the balance between, I mean, I don't even have to say it. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. We can have four more years of the insanity that we've suffered from in the last 3 years, or we can change that. And that goes all the way from the top of the ticket, meaning the president, down through every level of government, and anybody. Everybody who's a U.S. citizen is eligible to vote if they're going to be 18 years old by November 3rd, 2020. So the people who came onto campus this week to start their first year and they're 17 years old, by next year they can be voting in the U.S. And it's just, it can affect the whole world.
Yeah, it's a time of political polarization in the United States and other places. Obviously, a lot of people you know would be very dissatisfied with the election result, but now you can engage with young people who have more choices on offer probably than they had 5 or 10 years ago in terms of the political spectrum now. Things are opening up a bit, and there's choices even, you know, within the Democrats. We can talk about that, but in order to get involved in these kind of activities, you know, they have to be working with the chapter here. They'd have to be working with Democrats Abroad in Hamilton. So how would they even get involved in the first place?
Oh, that's a great question. So actually, just to vote, you do have to register to vote. And then once you register to vote, if you're here and you're not home, wherever you came from in the U.S. or wherever you're attached to, you have to request an absentee ballot. Otherwise, how else are you going to vote, right? And then when you get the absentee ballot, you actually have to send it back and vote. But if you want to help us organize, you want to help us reach out, inform more people, mobilize them, you know, get them to do all this, I bet we could get like 1,000 votes right here at McMaster University. So if you want to do that and get involved with our chapter, we are actually having like a launch or an organizing meeting on Monday night, September 9th, from 5:30 till 7 at the McMaster Student Center in room 230. We should repeat this a few times during the course of this program. I'll repeat it right now. So it's Monday night, September 9th, from 5:30 till 7, which is kind of like right after class, you know, like before you go home. We'll actually have some pizza there. So if you're hungry, come on down. You can get some pizza. But the main thing is for American students and even people that are not Americans who want to support this to come together, meet each other face to face, be in a room together, you know, talk a little bit among ourselves. But the goal would be to form a group that'll be active on campus among students. I'll just also say graduate students. There are hundreds of American graduate students that come here to McMaster for the truly great education they can get. There are hundreds of faculty members who are Americans and staff members, whatever, librarians, all kinds of people that are Americans. So this kind of nexus of McMaster University is a place to reach hundreds and hundreds of potential votes. And right now they are potential, and we want to turn that into reality. So again, Monday night, there's this meeting where you can come. And otherwise, we have a Facebook group that's called Democrats Abroad McMaster. You can just Google Democrats Abroad and just join it online. It's like democratsabroad.org. Not too hard to remember, democratsabroad.org. Go there, explore it. There's a form you can fill in if you're an American citizen. If you're not, you can support us, get involved, help us, but you can't actually join.
Well, like, what do you get to decide if you're a member of Democrats Abroad in Hamilton? Or, you know, if you go to this meeting at McMaster and you join the club, like, what are the things that you get to vote on? What is the chapter going to help people with to do, because they might not have been voting or doing anything before? So if they join, what do they get to do that they weren't doing before?
Well, one thing is they get access to a lot of very clear information about how to vote, and it's actually different in every state. You know, so we want to provide that to everybody, be sure they do it and do it right. The main thing is our own organizing activities here on this campus. I'm not a student. I'm 67 years old. Those 17-year-olds who came on campus are 50 years younger than me. So I don't even know the culture here. I don't really know how to reach people. So the people who are 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old on campus, they live in their own little cultural community with each other. They know how to reach each other, right? They know the social media. They know even the words and how to reach out to each other and how to, like, you know, motivate others. And so in terms of your question was what decisions, I would hope that the decisions are mostly kind of strategic and tactical decisions. How do we get every potential American Democrat here to vote? Like, help decide that, help think that out, help plan it. You know, does that mean like once a month we're going to have a thing with beer and pizza and invite people to come and talk among themselves? Does it mean we're going to show films? Does it mean we're going to invite speakers? Does it mean, I don't know, book reviews? Do people even read books anymore? Does it mean doing like have a Twitter account, which we don't? Like, that would be the thing I would want them to decide within, but then being part of Democrats Abroad means you're part of the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party, as probably everybody knows, has to decide who is going to be the presidential nominee from our party. We have primary elections actually starting early next year and then extending through the summer. And Democrats Abroad has its own primary election. And what that means is Democrats Abroad has its own delegates to the Democratic National Convention. The Democratic National Convention is what picks the nominee. And right now, I imagine everybody listening gets it. Like, Bernie Sanders is one possibility. Elizabeth Warren's another possibility. You know, Joe Biden's another possibility. I'm going to get in trouble if I don't say all 25 of them. So relax, take off your shoes. Here I go. No, I'm kidding. You know, could be Tulsi Gabbard. Could be Amy Klobuchar. Could be, you know, Julian Castro. We will decide that collectively. We will vote in primaries. And how we vote will determine that outcome. So I'd like to say a little bit more about that in a while. But you asked a question, what do people get to decide if they join? So from a kind of a very local level on this campus, how are we going to pursue this organizing to like a huge level of who is going to go up against Trump and all the Republicans? We decide that. It's our party. So I'm saying like basically join the party. I'm actually really saying first, vote. But you can do more than just vote. Join the party and help us organize. How's this all going to work? We're like living in real time in history right now.
Yes, no, it's a very interesting time. As the curse goes, may you live in interesting times. From someone like myself, I'm very much to the left of the Democrat Party, and it's very interesting to watch some of the candidates that are now on offer running in these primaries. You have people like Tulsi. You have people like Bernie Sanders. They have engaged people beyond the U.S. borders. The things they have to say have captivated not just American citizens, but people in Canada and all over the world, really, because it's like you said, the elections in the United States affect the rest of the world. And we all have a stake in this, even if we're not American citizens. So, you know, given that that's the case, you know, I find it interesting, the Democrats there are running some people that are saying things that are to the left even of what you get in the NDP or what's allowed in the NDP, which is fascinating, really. So if you're a student, you're part of Democrats Abroad, and you are an American citizen, you know, you could be looking at potentially supporting some of these candidates. So how does that actually work? Like how, if I'm a student here and I join, if I want to support one of these candidates or get them farther in the primaries, what is the mechanism?
Oh, that's a great question. You just like campaign for them. You mentioned Bernie, you mentioned Tulsi Gabbard. So the real thing to do would be get as many people as you possibly can to vote in the primary for the candidate that you think is best. That's how it works. And I'll just tell you about me. 4 years ago, I was living in Vancouver. I organized a thing called BC for Bernie. And we organized hundreds of Americans who live in and around Vancouver to vote in that Democrats Abroad primary to choose those delegates at Democrats Abroad, since it's a convention. We organized hundreds of people who otherwise wouldn't have heard of it, wouldn't have voted, wouldn't have participated, you know? And I said, did I say this? I don't remember if I said this or not. But your vote in the Democrats Abroad primary has much more weight than if you vote at home. I guess my big message is vote one way or another. But when it comes to the primary and choosing which of these great spectrum of options we have as Democrats, if you vote in the Democrats Abroad primary, the ratio of voters like you and me choosing a number of delegates, how many people vote versus how many delegates we get to choose, is like 100 times less than any state. Like I vote in Pennsylvania, so if I vote in the Democratic primary in Pennsylvania, there's millions of people voting. In the Democrats Abroad primary, there's tens of thousands.
Right. Your vote is disproportionately more important than in other forms. And I think it's important to emphasize that because we learned in the 2016 election that the candidates are very important. And we also learned in these current primaries that what the candidates are saying, what the people are who are running in the primaries, the positions they're taking are important because people get to hear something for the first time, maybe. So, you know, if you have someone in there who's saying things you like, this is your chance to go and boost them, essentially.
Yes.
And you have a much bigger role in doing that than you would even casting a vote in the general election.
That's right. That's right. And regardless of kind of like who wins in terms of a personality or an individual person, to demonstrate support for certain policies and certain directions that the country should move has a great influence. And we also shouldn't focus only on the presidency. Just think of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. think of so many people that got elected. I am a great fan of Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar. I mean, there's a long list of like amazing people that are very active in Congress, and we can get down to levels of state governments and even other levels of government. So it all adds up. And this might sound corny, but I feel very fortunate and very blessed to be able to participate in a system that is at least as democratic as this one is. You know, it's a flawed democracy, right? Money still has huge influence, but in the end, it is votes that are going to count. So what I don't have a lot of money, but I can mobilize people to vote. And that's what we're trying to do at McMaster. And that's why we're having this meeting on Monday evening, September 9th, from 5:30 to 7 in the Student Center in room 230. So people on campus who want to mobilize others to vote and really impact the electoral outcomes can come together, find each other, and strategize together. How are we going to do that?
Yeah, it sounds, you're obviously very enthusiastic about this. You've been doing this for some time. And as I said, I've met some veteran organizers in the city. Just in terms of doing activism, you run into one or two people doing work with Democrats abroad. How did you get so involved in these electoral processes that take place in the U.S.?
Well, when I lived in the U.S., I just thought it was something I had to do. I mean, I grew up in the time of the Civil Rights Movement, the Vietnam War. It was unavoidable how much my life was impacted by politics. Like when people say to me, oh, I don't get involved with politics, I want to be very snarky and say back to them, well, politics sure is involved with you, you know?
Well, right? It's funny, right?
So you have to. You
people
just
say,
have.
I don't want to get involved, and I don't care about politics. And then they say, oh, but the rents are too high. Oh, I have to pay this or that tax, or I don't get this service from my government. I want this service. I don't like what they're doing in this country. I don't. Blah. They're hugely concerned about politics, actually.
Yeah. So you asked me, how did I get involved? But I don't know. If you have time for a story, I'll tell a story.
Sure.
Well, I have been involved in electoral politics actually since I was in high school in the late 1960s and dealing with the Vietnam War and, as I said, civil rights movement. How I got involved with Democrats abroad is kind of an interesting story for me. So way back after, everybody might know, I shouldn't assume everybody knows, but during the Vietnam War, during the draft, tens of thousands of young American men, the age of young undergraduate students in McMaster, fled the country. They went into exile. Tens of thousands came to Canada. Many went to the UK. Some went to Sweden. That was very well known. And then in the 1976 presidential election, a very big issue within the Democratic Party was, would the president give amnesty to these Americans who were in exile, or not give amnesty because, oh, they violated the law and they didn't serve their country and blah, blah, blah. Even though by 1976, the Vietnam War was a huge failure. You know what I'm saying? So at that time, I just happened to see an article about an American who was in exile in the UK because he went there as a draft resister. And he intentionally ran to be a delegate to the Democratic National Convention in Democrats Abroad. And he got elected. And he was going to come back to the U.S. And of course, there would be a warrant out for his arrest. And the FBI was going to meet him in the airport. He got elected to be a delegate to the Democratic National Convention. And he would be arrested in the airport for being a draft resister and fleeing the country instead of, like, you know, going into the draft. And what was going to happen? That was a news item that I read in 1975, probably. Very interesting for me because I also was a draft resister.
Yes.
And then years later, I found myself living in Japan quite unexpectedly, leading up to the 1980 Democratic convention. And I thought, wow, you know, actually, rather few people participate in Democrats Abroad. I bet if I run to be a delegate And if I could get like 1,000 or 2,000 votes, I did the math, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 votes, I could be elected. I could be a delegate. So I got active with Democrats Abroad to push the same kind of politics that I'm still pushing now. Always within the Democratic Party, there is a spectrum. Maybe not as left as you are, but from a left position to an even very right-wing position. And the way the outcomes get determined is by our participation. So it's like, okay, I'm going to step up, I'm going to run, I'm going to participate. And that's what I did back then. And then I wasn't active with Democrats Abroad. I moved back to the States. But then I moved to Canada, and I wasn't active with Democrats Abroad until the year 2008. And I saw this young senator from Illinois named Barack Obama was going up against Hillary Clinton. And I thought, oh, my God, I have got to get out there and support him. I've got to do everything I possibly can to stop Hillary Clinton from being the presidential candidate in 2008. And I was in Vancouver, and I personally got out there. And I registered over 300 Americans to vote in the primary, right? And that's, you know, I was like a tiny drop in the bucket or a grain of sand on the beach in getting the votes so that the Democratic candidate in 2008 was Barack Obama and not Hillary Clinton, you know. And then I just told you what I did in 2016, again Hillary Clinton. But this time I think we went beyond Obama and we had, you know, Bernie to support. So we have many choices. In this program, I'm not going to talk about advocating for one or another. What I'm advocating for is everyone who has really the privilege and is eligible to participate in this process, step up and do it. You know, figure out what's best. What do you believe is best? And then do something about it. I actually thought of making a poster with a picture of Trump with his, like, ugly face and his finger in the air. And I was going to put on the top, like, don't just freak out. Do something about it, you know. You can vote. You can mobilize and organize others. And again, I bet at McMaster we could probably find 1,000 American votes here in the Democratic Party that can shape who is going to be the nominee and then get out there and be sure they actually get elected, whoever it is.
It seems like you might have some influence on things when people get together, enough people that can. So, you know, it's always easiest to get involved in politics when your material interests are clearly at stake. In the case of the Vietnam War, there was plenty of reason to take positions on that or against the war because a lot of people would be drafted to a war that was illegal, that they wouldn't want to fight, and so on. So today, with the growing economic crisis and ecological crisis, obviously there's a lot of material interests at stake. So, you know, there's great reason for young people to be looking at candidates and who's running and who's in primaries and what they're saying and who they want to see representing their interests, that kind of thing. It's more important. It grows ever more important every day. So I'm glad to see. I hope that, you know, the activity you're doing leads to an uptick in consciousness and awareness and people caring about things. So
that's it.
You know, we can talk about ideas for posters, but there's probably work to be done on that subject. So I know we got to get running, but we should again remind people about certain things. You know, like the event time. And
You know what, Brendan, you just said, like, kind of it'll help people care. I think virtually everyone cares. I think everyone cares. And I think some people have been persuaded that they don't have any influence or any power, right? It's just psychologically and emotionally difficult to feel you're caring when you think there's nothing you can do about it. But if you think you can influence things, I would say then you can really, like, be in touch with caring. You can care and do something about it, you know? So people who spend all their time, like, I don't know, playing video games or wasting their time not being engaged, I actually don't think it's because they don't care. I think it's because they don't feel any hope that they can do something. So what I'm hoping to do is give people a way to engage and to make a difference. And can I say more? I want to give, like, a real true thing about every single vote potentially making a difference. And this is actually what happened in 2017 in the state of Virginia because of gerrymandering, which means the way they drew the districts, the Republicans win and dominate the state legislature, even though they don't get a majority of votes. Have you heard of a thing like that before? They don't get a majority of votes, but they still dominate the legislature. So after Trump was elected, people who had never been involved in politics before, many of them still in their 20s, many of them I can say are racialized people, LGBT people, people who were marginalized and felt they could never be involved in politics, they were like, oh my God, we cannot let this go on. We have to run in state legislature elections where they lived, in Virginia. So I just want to say, in Virginia, in the state Senate, there's 101 senators. The state Senate came out, it shifted from dominated by Republicans to 50 Democrats and 50 Republicans. And that one other seat came out. The actual election was exactly tied. There was like 14,731 Republicans and 14,731 Democrats voted. And according to the state constitution, it got decided by a judge flipping a coin, and it went Republican. And if one more Democrat had gotten off the couch and gone and voted, they would have won that Virginia Senate district by one vote. That's all it takes. And then they would have one more vote in the Virginia Senate. And what does that matter? Well, I can refer to the Equal Rights Amendment in the United States. So it would actually make it illegal to have different laws for men and women, which we do have in the United States. The Equal Rights Amendment has been ratified by 33 states, going back over 40 years. We've been working on this to get the 34th state. It was introduced into the Virginia State Legislature. The Virginia State Senate voted it down by one vote. So one single person walking into the voting booth, or even doing it by absentee ballot right here from Hamilton, Ontario, could have tipped the balance, and we could have the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, ratified into the U.S. Constitution. We don't, because of the lack of one single vote. So I don't want anybody out there to think that their vote doesn't matter. You don't know it does until it's all over. You know what I mean? Your side could win or lose by 10,000 or 100,000, or if your side loses by one vote and you're the person that didn't cast that vote, oh my God, you will regret it. So now is the time to get involved. And I'll just repeat again. You can go online to it. It's so simple. VoteFromAbroad.org or DemocratsAbroad.org, or if you're at McMaster, come out on Monday night, September 9th, between 5:30 and 7 to the Student Center, room 230. And also, you can find us on Facebook. I actually just created a Facebook group called Democrats Abroad McMaster. I want to turn it over to people at McMaster. I created it so it's there and you can connect with it, Democrats Abroad McMaster. But it would be great if a half a dozen people sign up, join it, and I'll give you the keys and you can run it. That's the idea.
Sure, get it started. You know, it's a good point in closing that, you know, entrenched interests in the United States, and there's a lot of people that just, you know, stay in their positions for a very long time politically or economically, but they count on people being demobilized.
Got it.
And if people think they can make a difference, and large groups of people think they can make a difference, it can shake things up even in a two-party system. You know, we're starting to see that already with some of the campaigns, even in the Democrat Party. People can start to ask, why do things have to be this way? Could they be a different way? And it's a good time to be engaging youth, as you say, as well. So if you want to communicate with people, they hopefully know by now the date and time information. So we're good there. So that should be interesting. And I guess we'll see as these primaries go on, if you guys are able to have influence, if you're able to sort of get some of these positions across and some of these candidates boosted that you're looking to do. So maybe there'll be some discussions about that on the campus.
Beautiful.
Great. Well, thanks so much for coming in the studio.
It's wonderful. Thank you so much for getting this kind of information out to people. And actually, it's not just for Americans. As I said in the beginning, everybody knows some Americans. And it was, you know, we don't all look alike, right? There's Americans of every size, shape, and color. And people you may have no idea that they're Americans actually are. So if you're not American and you want to help this effort to really make things better in the world, ask around among your friends, and maybe you have friends that actually can cast a vote in these American elections.
Right. Well, thanks very much, David.
Thank you.